as you're well aware, you're coming to Flagstaff on the heels of a big forest fire in one of the most beautiful and beloved canyons in northern Arizona. With as much traveling as you do with the show, I'm sure this is not the first time you've shown up to a place just following or during some type of calamity. How do you and the crew, the Prairie Home Companion crew, weave those events into your show? What kinds of discussions do you have about what to say or what to steer clear of even?
Well, this show is a kind of a lighthearted, cheerful show, and so we don't get into calamities, really. Sometimes you have to avoid mentioning things because people's feelings are tender. But we're not a, you know, we're not a hard-driving program of journalism. We're meant to give people a break, and so we just come in and take a deep breath and smell the pines and be in that beautiful place. I remember it very well from the last time we were there. It's one of the few places we've ever done a show where you can inhale this gorgeous vegetation. I'm trying to write a little song about Flagstaff, and I want to look up a railroad song from the 19th century and sing. Or if I can't find one, I'll write one. I can write 19th century songs as well as anybody else. And I wrote a song about the planet Pluto in honor of the Lowell Observatory. So we'll talk about all these odds and ends and not try to tread on thin ice.
On the subject of songs, I'm not sure, maybe you're aware, maybe you're not, it's Smokey Bear's 70th birthday this summer, and there is a Smokey the Bear song. Do you know this song? Have you ever heard it before?
I was hoping you would sing it for me.
Oh, dear. Here goes my radio career. It's something like, Smokey the Bear, Smokey the Bear, prowling and a growling and a sniff in the air. I don't suppose there's any chance that song might make it in the show.
No, that's not going to make it in the show. We'll leave Smokey to the Forest Service.
So the show celebrates 40 years this summer, and I'm told that your desire to do the show came from writing an article in 1974 for The New Yorker about the Grand Ole Opry. Could you tell us that story, how that article was the impetus for you wanting to do a traveling radio show?
Well, I just stood around backstage at the Ryman Auditorium in Nashville, and I watched all of those good people. They're all gone now, Porter Wagner and Minnie Pearl and Roy Acuff. Well, Dolly Parton was there. She's still around. And they just seemed to be having a great time. They were all dressed up in gaudy clothes, and the audience loved them. And I stood off in the wings, me, the objective reporter, and I thought a person could do this, you know. I had friends who were musicians, still do, and I could put together a live radio variety show like this, and so I went back and I did. It was back in the early primitive days of public radio when all sorts of foolish projects got started. Now they have, you know, a lot of management and vice presidents and project managers to prevent these things from happening. But back then, in the wild days, a person was able to take a simple, naive idea and bring it to fruition.
Do you think about at all that this kind of on traveling live radio sort of vaudevillian show is threatened now with the way media is, with all the quickness and social media, Twitter, Facebook, that it moves so fast? Do you think about the future of a Prairie Home Companion in that regard?
I think we live in a different sphere. There are statistics, surely, that people cite that say that tuning in a show at a particular time is fading rapidly, and that we live in an age of podcasts, and I enjoy podcasts, but nonetheless, there still are people who want to do this, and it's a big country, and there's a place for everybody, and I think as long as the show continues to be fresh and enthusiastic and upbeat. I think there will be people who want to tune in at a particular time on Saturday and listen to it. Maybe our audience will gradually reduce to incarcerated felons and people in rehab centers, but nonetheless, there still will be an audience.
You've spent so much time imagining and inventing Lake Wobegon, the backdrop for the show. Do you ever blur the lines of reality and Lake Wobegon? Are they the same thing for you? Do you ever wish you might be able to just escape to that idyllic place?
I don't. I don't see it as idyllic. I also don't feel that I have a good grip on it. And that's one reason to keep on doing the show for a few more years is the thought that I can do better with this. I haven't really grasped it.
That's a surprising answer to me, that you feel like you don't have a grasp on it entirely after so many years.
I don't. I really don't. And I need to get serious about I need to get serious about this after 40 years. You know, I'm just starting to get the hang of this.
Garrison Keillor, thank you so much for your time. I think this community could really use a good time, so we're very excited that you'll be here soon.
Thank you, Jillian.
With a ranger's hat and shovel and a pair of dungarees, you will find him in the forest, always sniffing at the breeze. People stop and pay attention when he tells them to beware, 'cause everybody knows that he's the fire-preventing bear.
Smokey the Bear, Smokey the Bear,
prowling and a growling and a sniffing in the air. He can find a fire before it starts to flame. That's why they call him Smokey. That was how he got his name. You can take a tip from Smokey that there's nothing like a tree, 'cause they're good for kids to climb in and they're beautiful to see. You just have to look around you and you'll find it's not a joke to see what you'd be missing if they all went up in smoke.
Smokey the Bear, Smokey the Bear,
prowling and a-growling and a-sniffing the air. He can find a fire before it starts to flame. That's why they called him Smokey. That was how he got his name. On his doorstep and he'll make you feel at home. You can run and hunt and ramble anywhere you care to roam. He will let you take his honey and pretend he's not so smart, but don't you harm the trees, for he's a ranger in his heart.
Smokey the Bear, Smokey the Bear,
prowling and a-growling and a-sniffing the air. He can find a fire before it starts to flame. That's why they call him Smokey. That was how he got his name. If you've ever seen the forest when a fire is running wild, and you love the things within it like a mother loves her child, then you know why Smokey tells you when he sees you passing through. Remember, please be careful, it's the least that you can do.
Smokey the Bear, Smokey the Bear,
prowling and a-growling and a-sniffing the air. He can find a fire before it starts to flame. That's why they call him Smokey. That was how he got his name. Thank you.